Una película sobre el sistema de salud en Cuba y que muestra qué es lo que pone en Cuba en el mapa a nivel mundial. Es una investigación y también va a haber una cena, que esto va a pasar el miércoles 29 de octubre en el cuarto 6120 en MIT, de las 6 a las 8 de la noche. Por favor, vengan el miércoles.
A Natural Causes in Sickness and in Wealth, a film screening and community conversation will take place on October 29, 2008 on Wednesday from noon to 1:30 p.m. at the Community Change Library on Racism at 14 Beacon Street, room 605 in Boston.
Y eso en español, causas innaturales, la enfermedad y la riqueza, una película y una conversación comunitaria que pasará este 29 de octubre de las 12 del mediodía a la 1:30 de la tarde en la biblioteca de Community Change and Racism en el Beacon Street número 14, cuarto 605.
And lastly, on Friday, October 31st, on Halloween, there will be a workshop, a Leña Dance Company salsa workshop, Intro to New York Style Salsa with Beginner and Intermediate Levels. It will take place at the Z Square in Harvard Square from 10:15 to 10:45 p.m.
Y finalmente va a haber un workshop de salsa, que esto pasará en Harvard Square, en Harvard, de las 10 a las 10:15 a las 10:45 de la noche.
Before we go away, I just want to make a quick announcement about Troy Davis, whom we talked about 2 weeks ago. He was scheduled to be executed this coming Monday, and a lot of people have been sending petitions in. His case is rested for another 25 days. So I just want to remind everyone to keep sending petitions, to keep asking for clemency, to keep asking for justice for Troy Davis. And if you want more information, you could Google Troy Davis or visit Amnesty website to find out more information. So
excellent. Thank you for that. And is that all the anuncios we have? My goodness, do you know what this means? This means that we have time to end with different music. Wepa! That's so exciting. So say goodbye to the anuncios music. Here is one more piece about poverty and getting out and making something different and change in your world. This is Escapar from the Break the Chains CD. We'll see you next Friday.
Será mejor. Mientras unos se dejan y otros se apendejan, inobedecido, igual de todos es el peor. El futuro se puede escapar otra vez. El futuro se puede.
Festival, while we fight the death with no rest at all, while we struggle in the streets with no help from y'all. 300 million strong, ready to fall, while you stand by your look when they're killing us all. You all cowards running hide when misery calls. Ready to live, but always stay ready to die for the cause. So we look into our children's eyes and tell them you're a warrior, teach them with pride. History of our culture, why our ancestors died. Crazy horse, Geronimo, and the rest of them. Hey, y'all ain't never won the battle, y'all just blended in. Now that indigenous bloodline pumps through your veins, causing you pain and anguish, ready to change your lifestyle. Think you made it, but you just moving backwards. Never return to burn with the rest of your bastards. Pick up the pen, my warriors up, pick up the pipe, cause we gon' need all your action and prayers to win the fight. Got a date with the system and I'm killing the hate, cause you a natural gorilla, no escaping your fate.
La tierra se acaba y el aire se ensucia, y nadie se asusta, esto tiene.
Africa Cabisa is back, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Tune in to the best music from the African continent and beyond with Sukus, Dombolo, Makosa, Kupite, Kale, Kwaito, Highlight, Zouk, and more. That's Africa Cabisa, Africa Absolutely, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. on WMDR Cambridge.
مرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران to Music for Human here at WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. I'm here today with Captain Hydrox.
Good evening, Dr. Jalis.
مرحبا دكتور. مرحبا Captain Hydrox. I was meditating earlier today, as I usually do. And I found myself wondering if people meditate in groups.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I realized that meditating in a pair is really sort of the ideal, that many people often, you know, they are meditating. What they are actually trying to find is they are trying to find another soul that is journeying, so that when someone meditates alone, they are really imagining sometimes, or fantasizing, visualizing, meditating in a pair. So I began to journey, you know, in the meditative realm, and to search for other wandering souls. And I found pairs. I found groups of souls meditating together. And I found that the meditation seemed to be enhanced by meditating in a group. That even, you know, I meditate alone and subconsciously am imagining meditating with someone else. But that those who meditate in pairs silently dream of meditating in groups of three, and occasionally much larger groups.
I think, Dr. Jalas, the climax of the meditation of between groups, it's better when the number of the people in the group is prime.
You believe a prime number of meditators is ideal?
Yeah, to maximize your meditation.
That's interesting. So that if you are divisible, that it is better to divide along the divisible lines.
Yeah.
And then to meditate in smaller groups. That's interesting. So that's maybe why large group meditation has failed largely.
Yeah.
You know, usually you find people meditating in pairs. And I think also there is some sort of social stigma against meditating in very large groups. I mean, even, you know, there is a resistance against meditating in, you know, like I'm meditating consistently with a partner. And there is, even among very well enlightened spiritual folk, you know, everyone is insecure. So I may say to my meditative partner that I would like to bring a third point to our circle to enhance the spiritual resonance. But they may feel that this is some sort of disguised attack on them, that they are not a sufficiently capable meditation partner. Another point, of course, well, I should say that neither Captain Hydrox nor myself are insecure in that we feel that you may not have something to add. We believe you have something to contribute, and for those who wish to journey with us for a small time, the number is 617-253-8810. And our operator will connect you. Hello, marhaba, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. I want to apologize for last week. I'm sorry about the mean swear words and everything, and I'm just sorry to the FCC. But anyways, like, I think if you're meditating, you're kind of meditating by yourself, no matter how many people are around.
Well, yeah, welcome, first of all, Robert. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Like, I definitely have not meditated with others often. Sometimes I have been in a room where people, like one time I was meditating, this was 20 years ago, and I was meditating in a hotel, and I realized that there were others meditating in the room next to mine. And you might say I could hear them meditating, like I could really feel them there, you know, spiritually. And but there was a pair there, and I really feel I felt at the time that they were enjoying some sort of success with their meditation that had eluded me. So I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I can't speak from experience here. I always find that when you, for example, call in, or that we have people call in, that the discussion is richer. So I don't know. Are you? Do you often meditate, Robert?
Yes.
You do, but do you meditate alone or do you meditate in a group?
I'm alone and with people at different times.
Using objects sometimes help in the meditation.
Well, sort of something to focus the meditation or
to focus and like dissipate the energy around.
Sometimes sort of props and other devices can be used.
Yeah, like
to
powerful stones
and oils.
I use a lot of the tools of the world as meditation devices.
The tools of the world.
They have to be prime.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing too, is that like there is a numerical quality to it, that there is something to be gained by attention to even the smallest of details. And well, I'm not sure. So you say, Robert, that you have participated in group meditation?
Yes.
And what has your experience been? It sounds fairly negative, actually, that like you felt...
I think it's the same as being alone.
The same as being alone. What's... I mean, of course, solo meditation can be very rewarding.
And soul searching is very hard. Maybe this group was not working for you. You need to find another group.
I think we're on different time wavelengths.
Like, you mean they were on different...
I think, like, this conversation is...
Oh, well, that's always possible. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like... You know, I can understand where you're coming from here with your, you know, with this idea about solo meditation being like how you can be alone when you are in a group. But see, that makes me wonder also if that somehow the group was just not the right size. Like if there were 12 people where it's really not prime. You know, and this plays right back into the captain's theory here, Captain Hydrox, that there are too many mixed frequencies in a group of that size.
In the Chinese culture, they meditate multiple times a day, and they meditate in groups. And I consulted my friend specialist, Dr. Yuan.
Oh, yes.
And he adhered this theory, so the groups add maybe Chinese meditation is different, and they need the group to support each other
because it's more easy to become lost, to really lose yourself in the meditation. Well, I know that the teas are really an integral part of Chinese meditation, and also there are positions that people like, you know, that they may take on in order to more fully enjoy the meditation, but it can be dangerous to be sort of in the same position for many hours. It's very powerful. It can be a very powerful tool to focus, but so that you more intensely enjoy the meditation and you know.
I can't meditate on anything for very long.
Yeah, it's hard to focus. Well, yeah, you know, for a long time I would have... do you have any pets, Robert?
No.
I found that for a while I had a cat, and I would meditate, and the cat would walk into the room and start, you know, batting me with its paws, and I found it very difficult to continue to concentrate. Or it would blow out one of my candles, and you know, so then from five I have four candles, and you know, there it is again. It was no longer a prime number.
I don't know. I look at cats a lot.
You look at them a lot?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you prefer cats or dogs?
Man, all those, it's kind of not as fun knowing it, because all, like, the bugs go away. I like those moths.
You like... Oh, you like the bugs?
I like moths. Moths
in particular.
You don't see bugs or squirrels in the winter.
Well, not very often, but, I mean, they have to go somewhere.
Yeah. They hide. In trees. That's what I heard anyway.
Oh, they hide?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Squirrels, where do they go? They hide from the cold. And the lake squirrels don't go south, do they?
I don't know. Maybe they camouflage and they're there, but you can't see them. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really a squirrelologist. Squirrels, yeah.
They're fun to watch. I feel lucky when I just look outside and I'm like, yeah, squirrel.
Hmm. I used to have, I had a series of recurring dreams where I would be chasing a squirrel, like a rabid squirrel.
I don't really dream about squirrels too much, but I was thinking about this dream, and I feel like the whole universe, is, pushing me in a direction. I don't know. It's that I still just wish I were a monk. But I wouldn't want to do that. I would just like playing. It's just playing music. It's all really fun.
Well, I can give you my own opinion on monks. I respect them a great deal because they are sacrificing a lot. But I feel like it's an easy way to escape and not to really face the complexities of human interaction, to bury yourself in a monastery somewhere.
I just don't really see that much that's good about it. Or anything. I love my situation. I feel like people are like, I don't know, I feel like I don't know. I don't want to say that, I don't know, just most, I don't think I think that same way as everybody. And I don't know why you guys are talking about meditation partners, they're weird. I have lots of different ones of those. It's good to, see people at different times, a big time.
I mean, you know, meditation partner, it's an interesting question. Why would we be interested in meditating in groups? But it's really only that I enjoy meditating alone so much that I look for anything to enhance the experience.
The only reason why I meditate in groups is to make more sounds, to have more hands and people. I would say, I guess music is the meditation, and that's the only really, I don't know, personality is just strange.
Music is an amazing way to meditate. But you should, usually, everything I do in my, every task I do during the day, I find it meditating. So, I barely meditate. I barely specify this is the time I meditate, but I meditate throughout the whole day. if I eat, if I listen to music, when I wake up.
You find that those, all the experiences you have help to focus your energy into a point.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. I really have to set aside time and space to meditate. But, I'm also somewhat self-conscious. I don't like to meditate in front of others. I worry what they would think. I can't get comfortable, you know. But I imagine that
I feel comfortable around people. It's strange. I hum to myself a lot, but I stop when I'm around people. Just because I don't think, it's just unnecessary.
It's unnecessary to hum in front of others?
I don't have to hum. I like it, though. It's fun humming. I only hum sometimes.
But you feel that humming, I can see also how humming can be a form of meditation. And this ties into this music as meditation, that there is somehow when you play music in a group, I don't know if either of you play an instrument, but that's another example of something that really could be enhanced by groups that...
Yeah. Like. And it's strange how sounds work, and it's strange vibrations. Vibrations are a lot different than what you hear.
Robert, stay with us. We're getting another call. Hello, you are on Music for Human Beings.
Hello, this is Aurora.
Marhaba, Aurora.
How are you?
Good, thank you. It's actually very fortuitous that you would call. We were just talking about musical vibrations, and I know you are a voice specialist.
Yes, I just tuned in and decided that you could use my perspective.
So, tell us what you think about this. Like, we were, obviously there is some comparison to be made between spiritual energy and musical energy.
Definitely. Music is so entwined in our spirit. The mere emission of any sound, particularly that of a melodious sense, is entwined in our being and in our emotions and our spirituality.
And so, much as a musical instrument can... I remember I used to travel with a group of four singers and for a brief time, and I'm not a musical person, but... They were telling me that at the beginning it was just three singers. And then when they added the fourth singer, that somehow it, when they sang together, it was as though there were a fifth person there. And this was something that I attempted to understand using scientific means, but it was something I never really came to terms with. But can you imagine the implications that has on meditation? That you could meditate in a group of four and a fifth person would be there meditating with you? Just the combined energies forming?
That's a well-known phenomenon in our musical meditation. It's sort of a resonant within the souls of the four that leads to a fifth lump in the circle, so to speak.
It's really astounding, and I'm very curious to experience this myself, but like I was saying earlier, I'm very self-conscious about meditating in groups. I'm very comfortable meditating on my own in my room. You know, I guess.
Well, it's certainly easier to find a group of three others in which you are very, with whom you are very comfortable. It's more difficult when it comes to the musical, as people tend to be self-conscious due to the constraints of society when they're singing or expressing themselves musically.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I wonder if I could... I feel like I would have difficulty finding someone who would be willing to meditate with me. I feel like...
Well, next time I'm in town, we should try it. We'll find two others.
That would be really lovely. I mean, but, you know... I regard meditation as something that's very intimate.
Yes, but intimate experiences can be enhanced by the presence of others.
So I have been told. Robert, by any chance, do you play an instrument?
Yeah.
Right, you mentioned earlier that you you hum, and apparently you also whistle.
Yeah, I'm a bird.
It's one instrument that many of us possess, that the expression of which brings great joy, even to those who are not learned in the experiences of the soul.
And as a vocal specialist, Aurora, you know, have you had many experiences, like very focused, energetically, you know, your concentration during singing, for example, or even speaking?
Oh, definitely. I mean, one thing is that singing, as it is known in the Western world at least, is a very constrained experience, which does not lend itself too well to meditation, but allowing the voice to flow throughout one's body and throughout one's soul in a freer sense leads to an incredible spiritual experience. I think you know that I was out in the forest a few months back commuting with the animals.
Commuting with them. In which forest?
Out in the backwoods of Virginia. There's a national park there. I don't know its name, actually. I just drove until I came to a large grove of trees and walked through it.
So an experience that I recently enjoyed was that of snoring. And I wonder also, I mean, I realize it is not quite as melodious as speaking or even singing or whistling. But there... I'm sorry?
How'd you know that you were snoring?
Oh, no. I was exposed to someone else's snoring, unfortunately. But I realized at the time, you know, with the proper attention, that it's somewhat melodious. That, you know, there is a... And many people, of course, they snore in very unusual ways. So I was sitting in my chamber, and I heard a sound. I had a house guest, and I heard the sound like someone breaking into the house, and I was alarmed, and of course I started wandering and pacing, and finally I realized the source of the noise was my guest. And the sound, after I grew accustomed to it, which took many hours, I found it somewhat melodious and rhythmic. You know, that I could hardly... I pulled out my piano and started, you know, joining in there. I
have a theory in my... I do voice therapy. Many of those who experience snoring are expressing their souls when they keep them bottled up during the day. You know, only at night can their musical beings be exposed.
I see. So
your guest, I assume, was a somewhat of a closed-off person, someone who doesn't sing or play or allow herself to be one with nature?
That's correct. I mean, he was very taken aback when I mentioned that I would be meditating in my room. I think it was... He regards it as something that shouldn't be spoken of in public. Meditation, but I'm very open about it.
Yeah, so that sense of shame which your guest must have felt at the mention of meditation leads me to believe that the snoring was the only method of expression that their musical soul could take, unfortunately. But at the same time, that would explain its melodious nature once you observe it in the correct sense. That's exactly the sense, by the way, which you should meditate musically.
That musical meditation is really the right way.
Oh, I mean, definitely, but when you're meditating musically, even the strangest sounds can become incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you were, in a sense, meditating when you began to play piano along with it.
Mm-hmm.
longer like cars and birds and all noises when people are sleeping. That's
interesting also that I heard a symphony recently which was entirely composed of street sounds.
Yes.
Which I had always found somewhat melodious, but that may have something to do with my lack of musical talent.
Oh no, not at all. It's merely your ability to see beauty in many things that allows you to do that.
I feel like I get like kind of like pushed around by sound.
Well, that's an interesting sensation that you are being buffeted, that that the sounds assault you.
Yeah, kind of. I kind of like it though. I do. It's fun. Like it feels very good.
Well, I think like that's strange. In accordance with physical theories that not only can you be really pushed around by sound, but also by light. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not my field.
That's an
interesting
thought.
Being alive is weird.
Yeah, I've
a light-powered vehicle, perhaps.
Yeah, really, right. I read recently some literature in a New Age physics magazine about using light to aid or diminish meditative encasement, which is really just what Robert is talking about, but with light instead of with sound. And it makes me wonder if it could be done with other things like smells or tastes.
Words.
I yourself already, I'd be interested in seeing how the light waves and the sound waves combine. Perhaps an additional resonance will occur.
Oh, so all of them together, or even words contained within the sounds or in the light.
Begin with the smells, perhaps. I've noticed that my best meditative states have occurred in the middle of the woods where there are the smells of, you know, of trees and rain and rotting grasses.
So that you could be assaulted by many, many things.
Yes, but not in the dirty sense that the city lends. Unfortunately, the smells of refuse and gasoline don't seem to do the same. Perhaps we need to study this further.
Well, I'm not sure. I feel like to the properly expanded mind, even an offensive smell can be used to help focus.
Once a year, Dr. Jalis, I travel from South America to Africa to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
because I found the pyramids very calming and soothing, and just the shape itself is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I rent a camel, I can go around and start meditate, and people join me.
They meditate with you?
Yeah.
Around, in and around the pyramid?
In and around, yeah. The shape has so much power.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, that the pyramid somehow focuses energies, or that it deviates spiritual chakras. But I've never experienced this as either. I read a paper in a scientific journal about tomato rotting speeds under pyramids, which I found very interesting.
Unfortunately, I must go.
Oh, well, we're sorry to hear that, Aurora.
It was a pleasure speaking with you.
The pleasure was ours, my son.
Thank you, Aurora.
So we'll put someone else on the air here.
Let's transfer them through.
Hello, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, marhaba, welcome to Music for Human.
Marhaba, how are you?
Good, good, how are you?
Very good. So I just joined the program.
Welcome. Yeah, we are here discussing the effects of meditating in groups. Are you a meditator, caller?
I'm really a meditator, and I love to meditate while somebody snores.
Oh, you are a snorer meditator. So
yeah, so I do not snore, but I love when somebody snores.
Do you have a partner that snores?
Sorry?
Do you have a partner that snores?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you find it difficult to sleep, but you are able to meditate in the?
Yeah, it's interesting because I cannot sleep while he snores, but I can meditate while he snores, so I think I can take some advantage of the day, mm-hmm. of the night.
That's interesting. And have you tried meditating directly with your partner? Do you think that it's... I'm curious, really, if it's the sound or if it's the fact that it's coming from your partner that helps you meditate there.
I'm really not sure. I never thought about that. But yeah, I have tried to meditate with him. But the problem is, after like 5 minutes, he would start snoring. So probably he's sleeping. That's what I think.
So that he's actually so relaxed by the meditative rhythm that he falls asleep.
Yeah, correct.
Did you try to analyze the voices coming from the person that you hear snoring? Did it make any sense to you, or did you connect to their soul?
Oh, yeah. I did not connect, you know, because he speaks like in a weird language. I can understand what he says.
Only when he's snoring, or also when he's awake?
When he's snoring.
You know what's also interesting? Robert can perhaps help me, you know, decide the truth of this, but many people have told me that they prefer to meditate in pairs with the opposite gender. Not everyone. I've also met a few people who like to meditate in same gender meditation, but almost exclusively opposite gender meditation is preferred.
Why do you think that happens?
I'm not really sure. What's that, Robert? I'm sorry?
Whatever. I was thinking before about people getting married. I'm having weddings with shelves. It was something I wrote about why I couldn't concentrate in school. Because I always drew people with chicken feet and their imaginary wings with shells. I didn't know about this strange thing.
I'm sorry, chicken feet? I couldn't quite follow that.
I don't know. That's just what I did when I was a little kid. I drew people with chicken feet.
That's interesting also because a few weeks ago we were talking about... meditating by dancing with animals. I'm not sure if you remember.
Most animals kind of get nothing. Like I don't know about dancing, but like walking. Well, like walking, meditating, and like animals pass by, and that's always neat.
Well, I always found that atavistic rhythmic movement can also really enhance meditative state.
Yeah, like copying animals is cool.
Of
like
course.
Sometimes I like to like dig holes in dirt.
To really connect with the creature.
Yeah, it's fun. You can like it's like breathe like a dog. You ever see a dog? Like they really get into that.
Yeah, because they want to hide their food. So, what was your purpose of?
Well, maybe.
I was kind of punching the ground.
But maybe...
And then I eventually dug a hole.
But it might be that hiding the food is only a side effect for the dog. That the dog is really trying to achieve a meditative state.
I think dogs meditate more than people all the time. Dogs are like monks. They're special monks. Not all dogs. Some dogs suck. No, that's their purpose, though. That's why they are dogs meditating masters. Dogs are great. Dogs are awesome. Cats are awesome, and squirrels are awesome. People are awesome, too. They're the same exact, except not really. I've been eating a lot of turkey sandwiches because I get them for free, and a lot of pastries. And now my poop smells like it does when I was a little kid, when I was in grade school, because I used to eat turkey sandwiches and cookies all the time.
Hmm.
That was my New Age report for you.
Thank you for that, Robert.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, so,
caller number four.
Caller four?
Yeah, hello.
I'm sorry, we're receiving some noise from your line.
From my line?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird because I'm not close to anything.
I thought it might be windy or something.
Are you meditating now, caller number four?
Yeah, I was. That was I lost the connection for some time. So do you think now it's better, the noise? There's no noise now?
Or maybe it's just my line.
I think it may be your line. We're not sure.
Oh, I think the number of people she's meditating
with. I followed my head up and down. Hold on, I'm going to go, and I'll be back.
Okay.
Or maybe it's my partner that's snoring.
Well, that it's like coming through the line. It's possible.
Hello?
Oh, we're here. Caller four,
So I would like to talk to the captain. Like, I heard he's from, like, somewhere in the Amazon, I think.
Yeah, the Captain Hydrox is from South America.
I see, and, like, I would like to ask him if, like, he can recommend me which, like, food and herbs are good from his area. Like, I heard they have very interesting herbs and exotic plants.
Caller four, I'm afraid we're going to have to disconnect you because the noise is too noisy.
It's okay, interfering with our chakras.
But thank you for the call.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Ma'asalama. But, Captain Hydrox, can we address this question that the caller gave before we got disconnected there? It was about what sorts of herbal remedies existed for this snoring issue.
In the jungle of the Amazons, they had this problem for a long time, and they found some solutions for it. So they tried to meditate with this snoring problem, but they found an herb which only grows in specific part of the Amazon. Its name is ayahuasca. And when they make it into a paste and brush their teeth with it before sleeping, the snoring disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So
the ayahuasca may be the right herb for our caller.
Stop the snoring and make and enhance the meditation of the sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Which is important.
Yeah.
Well, it also brings us back to that subject of many weeks ago, which is on magnesium. So I would theorize that probably this ayahuasca contained a large quantity of magnesium.
There's a big chance, yeah. I didn't look into it and research this plant, but I believe that magnesium is a big part of it, so... But like, also like simple tea can help. You know, some Herba Luisa or chamomile tea can help relax the body before it enters to the most important part of the day, which is like resting and preparing for the next big day. The hunting, basically. That's what they do in the Amazon.
Is that recovery time is really critical?
Yeah.
So we have one line remaining open, and the number is 617-253-8810. We're talking about meditating in groups and many issues that could arise really from the possibility. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I just had to leave my group meditation. I'm extremely relaxed, and I've been doing a lot of cleansing and fasting and cleansing, and I took my dinner tonight was super colon blow. I had a high fiber, many grains, super colon blow, and when I went to evacuate in the bathroom, I'm pretty sure I have dropped my Muladhara chakra right out of my body.
Wow. And so that's a really, really quite cleansing, actually. I mean, I'm sure that it will come back, you know, just as the poisons continue to assault you. But I'm really curious to hear about the group meditation. Are you a meditator usually, Colin?
Oh, yes. We always meditate together.
Oh, so, but do you have much experience meditating alone?
Well, I meditate most of the time. I just close my eyes and, you know, the time just passes. And it just, I just keep meditating. So, yes, I meditate. I actually don't know when I'm not meditating, because I meditate so much, and I've had this experience of my bottom chakra just falling off, and
from the intensity of the group meditation.
Yes, and I don't know whether I should just go with the flow or whether I should be worried about this.
I really wouldn't worry about the bottom chakra. I mean, that's
usually happens.
It's not too uncommon. Yeah. I mean, I've achieved bottom chakra removal on my own, really, with the assistance of, you know, demonic statues and candles and oils. But I have actually managed to do this.
Yeah, without not in a similar process, but it can be removed in various ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Should I try to retrieve it, or can you regenerate the bottom chakra?
You will. Yeah, you definitely will. It's one of those chakras that it's really difficult, actually, to get rid of. So the fact that you've done so, it's remarkable, really.
It feels like the chakra is like I'm getting a new crown chakra, the Shaharaspara.
Mm-hmm.
Is is getting pushed down to the Agnya, and
what's this stuff mean? What's the bottom chakra? I don't even know what that is.
Well, that's the Muladhara. If you go to the front
like
page
cow?
Of
what?
The
a a cow? A song about a cow?
Muladhara.
Muladhara. Muladhara.
It's on the Music for Human Being web page. If you go to, it's right on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the chakras. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the Muladhara.
So what part of your body is the Mudala Maha?
Robert, it's
No, speak in human terms. Like
it's a chakra. It's not.
Yeah, what's a chakra? Please define chakra.
The chakra is sort of like a spiritual resonance point. So the human
in your body.
The human being.
So if your like back feels tingly, what is that?
That's your back feeling tingly.
Yeah, is that a chakra? Like, what is? It's all. What's these parts of your body?
No, a chakra is not like a part of your body. It's a part of your spiritual body.
They're different bodies.
Yeah, it's not like... I mean, it's like talking about the sense of, like, tasting sour foods and calling that a part of your back.
I thought you were talking about taking a crap colon blow. I thought you were talking about pooping.
Well, I was cleansing my physical body, but the chakra and the bodies of the energetic spiritual bodies are connected to the spiritual bodies, just like your thoughts are a part of your brain, but they're not your brain.
Yeah, that's a very apt analogy there.
So I was cleansing the body and the chakra just dropped out in the act of evacuating my bowels.
You forgot you had a body?
Well, I've been meditating a long time. It doesn't really seem important. That's why That's why I called the show. Because I was trying to make sure that I was, you know, had a balanced perspective.
No, I definitely wouldn't worry that that you are... Muladhara will remain gone. That this bottom.
What's not important?
No, it's all important. Like it, you know.
I hate the tones of voices.
Anyway, the chances.
I don't
are,
like this radio, so it's like a.
Well, in any case, to our concerned caller, in all likelihood, that chakra will return.
Would a massage help?
Massage would probably help. I mean, so like I was indicating before with Captain Hydrox, it's a chakra that is really difficult for people to avoid meditating on in the first place. So, honestly, the removal I would consider something of a feat. And if I were you, I would spend this period of time without that chakra in intense meditation to really appreciate the experience.
Do you think I should stop meditating with the group? Is there any chance that our third eyes have combined and just overloaded our combined? See, if there's five people meditating, that's 35 chakras total, and now we've just pushed one of mine out. Is there any, should I stop meditating with a group for a little while?
Well, so like I was saying earlier, I don't have a lot of experience in group meditation, but I certainly would not let this experience stop you.
It's a new experience for the group, so you can try it, and if they complain about it, you can meditate by yourself for a while and then join them back while... But the thing is, like, the bottom chakra, like, just get back very quick, so I will not worry about it. So by the end of next week, you should have it back.
So is it all right to flush?
I think you'd have to really. I mean, let that part of you rejoin the rest of the world. Let it participate in the cycle.
This is a leap of faith. I guess you could say it's a flush of faith that I'm going to have to make.
Yeah, I've been there. Like, it's hard to, you know, sometimes you put your hand there and you really want to stop the circle of life from happening, but it's natural and you should enjoy this time.
I feel like it would have been a more meaningful experience if I was had a guide like Aurora, and I was letting this go into a mountain stream instead of a plumbing system. It seems kind of sacrilegious.
Yeah, it often does, and it's strange how plastic the world seems these days with all of our ceramic and plastic and metallic life.
Sometimes I collapse on myself, and I think I'm giving myself a blowjob.
Well, I really can't speak to
you
that.
You need to keep this up, being nice to people.
I think there's all kinds of ways to reach nirvana.
Many paths. There are many paths. Anyway, callers, unfortunately, we are at the end of our time. So,
we will transfer your question to Aurora and get back to you.
In general, yeah, feel free also to send us emails at humans@wmbr.org, and they will reach all of our hosts.
Thank you. Well, namaste.
Maya Salama, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thanks for the help.
And Maya Salama to you, Robert. Captain Hydrox, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you, Dr. Jealous.
Music for Humans is on every Friday at 7 p.m. here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. We would like to thank all of our callers and all of our listeners. So stay tuned for Night Owl. Ma'a salama.
Points for safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first.